In verse 29 through 36, turn in your Bibles there and read along with me as we acquaint ourselves with these scriptures. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Seeking a sign or looking for a light makes a big difference. In fact, it may be the difference between learning about God and never learning about God. Jesus identified himself to the nation of Israel in different ways. That is, he manifest himself. He unveiled himself. For instance, Jesus identified himself to Mary by having angels announce his coming birth. He was identified to the shepherd by angels who told them who he was and where they'd find him. John identified Jesus by preaching about him and warning people to repent and prepare themselves for the kingdom of God. God identified Jesus on one occasion, that is, on the occasion of his baptism, by audibly speaking, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus often identified himself by reading and explaining the Old Testament, for they spoke of him, and in doing this, he identified himself as the one who had been promised. Peter said that Jesus identified himself to Israel by miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. In these verses that we have read this morning, Jesus revealed himself to a crowd. The Bible says that there was a thick gathering of the people. That is, they pressed very close together around Jesus. Jesus healed a man who could not speak and who could not hear, and thus he revealed himself as the Son of God to these people. Some of the people wanted a sign. They spoke very clearly in order to test him. They said, "Show us a sign, and not just a sign, but show us a sign from heaven." They challenged Jesus to convince them that he was the Son of God by causing one of the most spectacular, or perhaps the most spectacular scene that men on earth had ever been able to watch. That was their challenge. Show us something from heaven that will be so overpowering, so convincing, so demonstrous of God's power, grace, glory, love, whatever, that we will not hesitate to give ourselves to you, but show us this overwhelming, convincing spectacle that must come from heaven. And Jesus said to them, I'm not going to give you that sort of sign. The most spectacular sign that you'll see is the sign of Jonah. I don't think they understood what he was talking about that time. In fact, he said, I'm going to be Jonah to you. And I think he meant two things. I'm going to preach to you as Jonah preached to Nineveh. And then as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, I'll be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And as Jonah came forth to live among men, I too will come forth and live among you. And then Jesus denied that he came to keep himself a secret. Some people believe that religion is mysterious, that religion is something you have to investigate for years and years and years, and some way, somehow, some man without a haircut who lives in a cave high in the mountains, if you seek him, then he can tell you what is the truth. He can give you light. Men have sought to know the light of God by almost every conceivable way. They've drugged themselves, drowned themselves, burned themselves, punished themselves, denied themselves, and yet they've come away without light, without knowledge. Jesus said, I didn't come to put my knowledge in a secret place. I didn't come to put myself under a bushel, but I came to put myself on a candlestick so that the light of me would radiate and shine, and you'd be able to comprehend and understand, and you'd be able to come to God through me and the light that I give you. These people are identified in character as a generation that's evil. It seems incongruous to us that Jesus would denominate a group of people who wanted to see a sign, who seemed to be intensely interested in receiving information about God. It seems almost out of character that Jesus would say to them, you are an evil generation of people, when God had said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. People have been encouraged to seek the Lord. In almost every book of the Old Testament and the New, it seems that the whole thing is for us to seek God. But Jesus said, this is an evil generation. The word from which our translators got evil is the same word we get pornography from. It means that which causes pain or grief or sorrow. And therefore, if it causes grief and pain and sorrow, it must be evil. And the word that's translated generation can mean a nation, can mean a group of people that lived at a particular time, something like 25 or 30 years. We speak of that as a generation. It can mean the descendants of a man, such as the descendants of Abraham. They would be called a generation. Here he probably refers to them not only as a group within a specific time frame, the time frame of his being on this earth, but he probably also has reference to the nation of Israel. This is an evil generation. Why were they said to be by the Son of God evil people? Well, it's just a short sentence, and that is, they seek a sign. They strive, they look for, they're intensely interested in a sign, which is a tag by which anything is identified. We see these signs all the time. There are signs on our blue jeans, there are signs on our shirts, signs on our automobiles, signs on the towel, signs on our medication. There are signs that identify them and even describe their usefulness or that for which they have been manufactured. And they're saying, identify yourself. Isn't it strange that he had just cast out a devil, and this devil was a demon that had possessed a person and kept them from speaking or seeing? And we know that they were also blind according to the other gospels. Isn't that enough? Isn't that spectacular enough? Isn't that contrary to the common ways of our lives today? And yet you think of all the other things that Jesus had done previously that were extraordinary and contrary to nature. And yet they said, show us a sign. Show us a sign from heaven. I think this demonstrates that these are people who could never be pleased. They could never be pleased by whatever God did. And whatever God did, they would never completely and wholly and fully and without reservation trust Him. And more than anything else, it demonstrates that the Word of God is not sufficient. Let me tell you this. Let me share this truth with you. And I can assure you that it is the truth. If you will not trust God by what He says, you will never trust God by what He does. I want to say that again. If you will not trust God by what He says in His Word, you will never trust Him by what He does, no matter how spectacular that thing which you see might be. They seek a sign. And because of that, Jesus said to them, you are an evil generation. And he said to them that your only sign, the national sign, the sign that particularly applies to Israel, is the sign of Jonah. There shall no sign be given it. And that seems to speak of the nation. But the sign of Jonah the prophet. As I said, I believe this sign is twofold. Jonah had a mission, and Jonah had a message. But Jonah also had an experience. And I believe all of these, as they are included together, they are to be the sign that would convince Israel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What was the mission of Jonah? He was to go to a wicked city. What was the message of Jonah? Repent. And that's been the message of Jesus as we have studied these scriptures. What was the experience of Jonah? Well, in his rebellion against God, he was swallowed by a great fish and kept there in the stomach of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, and then vomited out on the shores of Nineveh, where he went and delivered the message that God had given him. So Jesus is to preach as Jonah preached. And then following his message, he too will be swallowed up by being buried for 3 days and three nights. But at the end of this, he will be raised again and will live among them as Jonah lived among the Ninevites. And then Jesus reminds them that God has used the teaching and preaching of people to bring light, and that those people who have responded to the light have been people who have learned of God. Jesus said the Queen of the South, and that's obviously the Queen of Sheba. If you want to read about this, it's in 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. That the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation. In other words, she will stand with you as a witness against you. Why is that? Not only will she stand as a witness against the generation whom Jesus referred to as evil, but she will condemn them. She will be a judge to them. She will be a witness to the fact that people don't have to have spectacular events in order to believe in God and to do what God wants them to do. Jesus said, "For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." She evidently was converted by the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, and we're standing here together, and I have worked a notable miracle, and you know by word of mouth that I've done so many other things. You didn't come from a foreign nation. You're right here. You didn't have to have an interpreter because I'm speaking your language. And my wisdom is greater than the wisdom of Solomon. My ability to teach is greater than the teaching ability of Solomon." The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn them. Why? Why would the Ninevites, a despised race of people to the Jews, why would they be called in as a witness against this generation? Here's what Jesus said. "For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Solomon, who had wisdom, taught the Queen of Sheba. Jesus is going to teach you. And the Ninevites, when they heard the preaching of Jonah, they repented, and you have heard me preaching that you are a wicked generation and you must repent. And Jesus said, "A greater than Jonah's here," referring to himself. You have every opportunity by the things that I teach you and the things that I preach. You have every opportunity to do God's will, to repent and to accept me as one sent from God. There are examples in history where people did this, using the Queen of Sheba and using the Ninevites, and then declaring that he himself is greater in teaching and preaching than these people whom he uses as this example. And then Jesus said in verse 33, I have done all of this in the open. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place. Jesus said, I have not come and I have not hidden myself from Israel. In John chapter 1, he is declared to be the light of the world. He is declared to be that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Everywhere in Scripture, Jesus metaphorically is referred to as a light. And he said, I have not placed myself in secret places, neither have I hidden myself under a bushel, but I have been on a candlestick that they which come in may see the light. And then Jesus explains the process of education. He explains the process of how we learn. He said, the light of the body is the eye. That is, how do we see light? How do we know that something is one way or the other? It is by the eye. That is how information enters. It enters by the eye. You have seen these things, is really what Jesus is saying. Therefore, when thine eye is single, and that simply means focused, when you're not glancing here and glancing there, when the information is available and you give your full attention and focus your intellectual powers so that you can comprehend, when that occurs, then the whole body also is full of light. Highly metaphorical. It simply means that when I am teaching and when I am preaching, if you will give me your full attention and if you will focus on the things that I'm saying and if you will accept the references that I give of me from the Old Testament, if you will let the miracles that I have done speak to you, if you will let what you hear, if you will let what you see speak to you and educate you, then your whole body will be filled with information and you yourself will be illuminated spiritually. But when thine eye is evil, and that's what they were an evil generation, thy body also is full of darkness. Jesus said, whenever you look upon what is happening as evil and you interpret all that's happening as happening because I am in some agreement with Beelzebub, the god of the dung heap, an emissary of Satan, if you look upon what I do as evil, then you're going to be filled with evil. Jesus said, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And that's contradictory. How can light be not darkness? Well, it is in their assumption. Those people who have focused upon the Book of Mormon and looked upon it as divine revelation and spiritual information, they're not filled with light, they're filled with darkness. And those people who would look upon the Quran as a source of light and designate the Word of God as evil, the knowledge that they receive from the Quran, if they accepted it as light, it is not light, it is darkness, and therefore their whole body will be filled with darkness. Now Jesus continues in verse 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, that is, if you have had access to the light, and you focus, give your full attention to the light, and let it enlighten you, then you will be filled with light, and no part will be dark, and the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. It's Jesus, of course, using the language of his age, said, if you will give your full attention to the information that I am giving you, and let all the things that I do teach you of me and of my Father, then you will be full of light, and your whole body will be like holding a bright shining candle in a cavity so that it is brilliant with light. Jesus is saying it's not just a matter of having light, but if you will let that occupy, if you will let that be what it ought to be, it will be a bright and shining light. It will be a glistening light. It will be a light beyond its normal power. In essence, Jesus was challenging these people to accept what he said, to accept what he read from the Old Testament, accept how he explained it to them as the truth of God. And Jesus said, this is sufficient. It's enough. You shouldn't demand any more. And I would ask you this morning, is the word of God sufficient for you? You have read the Word of God. You know what the Bible says. Others have taught you what the Bible says. And you have knowledge of God's will. You have knowledge of God's way. But you wait for something more. People who are constantly demanding more from God than what God has written and given to us are not showing their spirituality. They're not showing their spiritual maturity. And I can well imagine a person who's continually talking to friends and neighbors and saying, you know, I prayed all night that God would give me a sign this morning. And everyone's saying, my, how spiritual that person is. How he just opens himself up for God. People admire that kind of activity, but God looks upon it as an evil endeavor because it questions his writing. If I were to write a will and show it to my children, and then one of them say, but Dad, you know, give us something to prove that you really mean this. I wouldn't spank him, but I'd have his mother slap him. You know, God who cannot lie. If God says it in his word, you can trust it. You don't have to have the sun go dark. And you don't have to have all of these things in the world that you're looking for as some additional information, some addenda to the Bible. There's no need for that. There's no reason for that. It's wrong to ask God to certify that he's telling the truth, because whom would God swear by? When I am called in court, I take an oath and I swear by this book that I'm telling the truth, because this book is the very essence of truth. Do you swear? Well, I swear by the God Almighty that I'm telling the truth. Then whom would God swear by? The book of Hebrews tells us that God couldn't swear by himself in executing an oath. The only thing he could swear by was himself. Is it enough? Is the Bible enough? Is teaching and preaching enough? Is that enough to us as a congregation of people? Jesus has said it was enough for Sheba. It was enough for the Ninevites. And everyone who thinks it was not enough, one of these days when they say, well, that preaching was just not enough, I needed something more to be convinced that I needed to trust the Lord, and the church just wouldn't furnish it. I needed more than a message from the Bible, and that congregation just wouldn't provide it. Therefore, they'll stand in judgment before God for not having done enough to convince me of my sins or that I need a Savior. My friend, if Sheba was convinced by the wisdom of Solomon and the Ninevites were convinced by the preaching of Jonah, I can tell you that God will hold you accountable by the preaching and teaching of North Bryant Baptist Church. Because it is enough.